700 Jews?
At least, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Laureen, I hear you have some book events coming up. Can you tell me about those?
Yes, I have two in Portland. One is at the First Unitarian Church on Main Street. I think it's 1200 block, and that's at 7 in and that's another book launch. I have also something at Portland State on Monday. Tuesday the 15th at 7 at the Unitarian Church, and then at Portland State at 3:30 in the Browsing Library, that's room 238 Smith Center. There's a talk where I speak about resistance as a viable option and take Hans Kallmayr as an example.
Very cool. Is there anything else you want to...
No, I think I'm very grateful that you want to listen to me.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming in. We've been speaking with Laureen Nussbaum, the author of the new book, Shedding Our Stars, the story of Hans Kallmayr and how he saved thousands of families like mine.
You're listening to KBOO, Portland, Oregon. Up next, Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, unless otherwise noted. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday at 4:30 p.m.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. I'm your host, Stephen Siegel, here with co-host Rachel Haynes. Hey, Rachel.
Hey, Stephen.
We are broadcasting around the world from Portland, Oregon. Both of us are public school teachers, and we host every second Monday of the month, where we typically interview educators and talk about what's going on in their schools and in their unions. And joining us today on the phone, hopefully, I just hear a phone, sound like a phone hang up there, is Andrea Parker and Jim Staros from Chicago. Are you both on?
I am.
Okay. Well, we have you, Jim. Apparently we lost Andrea. Hopefully we can get her back on the line. I see our engineer working on that. So, welcome. Tell us about yourself, about your teaching background and experience.
Well, I'm a teacher here in Chicago. I teach high school. I've been a teacher here in Chicago 2002. Okay. I'm a government and history teacher and been involved heavily in the union activities really since about 2012,
yeah.
Maybe a little earlier than that.
That was a good year to get involved.
It was.
Great. And tell us a little bit about your union involvement.
Really lucky. I got the school I taught at was the school that Karen Lewis was at, our illustrious and wonderful previous union president. Back before she was leading the 2012 strike, she taught literally a corner from me at my school. So that was quite the education to get from her as how to be involved in the union and grassroots organizing, how to really build a social justice union from the ground up.
Yeah. Tell us in terms of your role of have you been a building rep? I understand.
Oh, yeah.
You do a podcast. What?
Yes, that is true. All of that is true. I am the union delegate at my school. I've been doing that for about the last years. I'm also a district organizer for the union, which means I help coordinate building delegates in about a dozen schools in a different part of the city. Okay. So we get them the information and help them out a little bit with what they need. And you are correct. Andrea and I also are the hosts of a podcast called CTU Speaks. And we talk about school-related issues and our union issues and labor issues here in...
Yeah, great. You cut off a tiny bit there at the end, but that's fine.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Andrea, are you on now?
I'm on. Can you all hear me?
Hey, yes. Oh, welcome. Yeah. Welcome.
Hey, Andrea.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Hey, so Jim already told us a little bit about his background and experience and union involvement. How about yourself?
Yes, well, I have been in CPS since 2004, so roughly 15 and a half years. I became actively involved in the union in 2010. I was at a turnaround school, and I felt like a lot of teachers were being mistreated. They were looking for a delegate, and they were doing a lot of things without a delegate that they should not have been doing what the administration was. So I had volunteered to be the school delegate. At that particular school, we were working 15 minutes roughly every day without pay. It was forced overtime. Our job was contingent upon working extra time after school, and they... It was kind of, they violated the contract. They weren't supposed to do that without a delegate persisting and getting teacher consent, and we should not have been forced. So I filed a grievance, got people on board, and we won $50,000 back for the school. Since then, I have been the delegate for school. I'm not a delegate now, but I was district organizer, like what Jimmy is currently. I'm also on the executive board with the Chicago Teachers Union, and I am the chair of the communications committee. Jim and I spearheaded the podcast CTU Speaks. We are in our fifth episode, so it's going pretty well.
Yeah.
All right.
That's awesome. I'd love to talk with you more at another time, maybe about that podcast. I think that's a great idea. Yeah. I wonder if we could maybe do something like that here in Oregon. So tell us a little bit about anything you want to add in terms of just what's it like teaching in Chicago. I mean, we have listeners from all over, but probably a majority of them are stationed here in Oregon. What are some of the hardships facing you there?
Well, I don't know if Jim had mentioned it, but, you know, class size is a very big issue. You never know what you're going to get each school year. Even in the school year, you can start off with a set class size, but you have kids transferring in all the time. And I know last year I had about 43 of my sixth graders, because I'm a middle school teacher. I teach 6th, 7th, and 8th grade English language arts. And last year I had 43 students, and that was a lot of students at one time. I did not have a teacher's assistant until the middle of the year, but even that was still a lot because I had to train her in with class expectations and things like that. I'm both a lot dealing with class size. It's a lot just wearing many hats. You know, I have to be a nurse because I only have a nurse one day out the school week. So sometimes I have to be a nurse. I have to provide Band-Aids, you know, ice packs, better call home, ask parents to come pick up their child if need be. We only have a school psychologist at school twice a week. And they're not really with the children. You got to deal with a lot of special education service and meetings and things like that.
Yeah.
So you got to do a lot of counseling. Things that I am not necessarily qualified for. So I'm wearing many hats.
Yeah.
So that's what's one thing that's like being a teacher at CPS. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a serious lack of resources. It's intentional underfunding by the city and the state. The rules that our union here in Chicago has to work under, we have different rules than every other state up intentionally to try to hit here in the city. And we're not allowed to legally bargain over things like class size and stuff like that, where every other union in the state is allowed to do that. That was written into state law back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy.
So I just thought that would be good to kind of clarify the process in Chicago or in Illinois versus Oregon.
In Oregon, we have an elected school board, and the school board is in charge of hiring the superintendent, the area superintendent, and that's who contracts are negotiated with, directly with the school district. Can you tell our listeners about the process in Chicago?
Well, Chicago's kind of different from the rest of the state. So Chicago, the mayor appoints our school superintendent, but we don't have a school superintendent. We have what you call a CEO or a chief executive officer, because we don't have to have a person, we don't have to have a leader that has a education background.
Oh.
Now, fortunately, the current leadership does have education background, but that has been the case in the past, I think, past three CEOs.
Right.
So the mayor appoints the school board. The mayor also appoints the CEO. Therefore, we feel that that these people are accountable to the mayor and not accountable to the students and the teachers or the parents within CPS.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's not an elected school board. We're still pushing for that. I feel like it's going to happen in a couple of years, but we do not have an elected school board like the rest of the district in Illinois.
And did you want to add to that, Jim?
No, Andrea really hit it. I mean, it's a problem. Our current mayor ran on a promise of having an elected school board, but as soon as she won the mayorship, apparently the word she used is it's unwieldy to have an elected school board. So she just appointed a different one. Yeah. It's a little frustrating.
Yeah, democracy
is inconvenient.
You get one person
as a candidate, yeah, and one person as a, yeah, it's, yeah. Anyway.
And so in terms of who you're bargaining with, are you bargaining directly with the mayor and the CEO, and is the appointed school board also involved?
No, that's ironic. So there are lawyers that we are bargaining with. The mayor nor the CEO has ever been in bargaining. One member of the seven board of education members just recently came to a bargaining meeting, but just lawyers. So nobody from the board, not the CEO nor the mayor, has really come into a bargaining meeting since we've been bargaining in January.
Wow. And is that different from previous negotiations?
No,
that is not.
Sadly
different.
Not.
I'm hoping that it would be different, because the current mayor has come in saying that she's going to bring in the light, she's going to be transparent, she's for education, for elected school board. And, you know, she saw our endorsement, so we just saw that things would be different. But she has the same bargaining team as the previous two mayors before her.
Okay.
Right.
So there has been no change.
Okay. So this is kind of touching on that previous bargain when CTU really launched itself into the spotlight in 2012. With a successful strike against a powerful Democratic mayor and political establishment. What would you say has been the primary focus of the union since that strike over the last 5 to 6 years?
Jimmy, you want to go with
go
that?
Ahead, Andrea. No, go ahead.
I would definitely say that we're really trying to fight for equity for our students. Because we feel like there's a lot of inequity in the way the school system is funded, because we go by this system called student-based budgeting. And what that means is that a principal is given a set amount of budget based on the projected number of students in the school. And if you have a low number of students, there are some resources, you know, your money is going to be low. If you have a lot of kids, you may have a lot of, you know, money to be able to allocate.
Mm-hmm.
So students with maybe a low population, maybe 300 considered a small population of students, they may not get a librarian, they may not get a music teacher, they may not get dance, they may not get books, they may not get after school programming, because it's only based on the number of kids in the building. And so what we're really trying to have is just equity for all students, that all students across the district have the same and equitable resources as everybody else. We have about 600 schools in our district, and there's just a definitely disparity of the resource that kids get. You may have a school where they have music, dance, art, gym, theater, a plethora of after school programming, college tours, where another school within the same district, based on the zip code and population, won't have any of those things. Mm-hmm. And we just want to eliminate that gap of resources. So that's been our, and also just talking about is housing. There is a skyrocket of housing costs, and teachers, I mean, not just students, but even teachers cannot even afford to live in a city that they work in and go to school in. And so we have about 15,000 of our students who are homeless.
Wow.
And trying to deal with that is a hardship. And so we want to make sure there's housing equity for our students so they won't leave the city, they won't leave the district, and so they can be able to have the things they need in the school. So just basically equity for schools, I think, has been on the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We've been really trying to form ourselves, and since 2012, into a more social justice union. There was a publication that CTU put out back in 2012 called The Schools Our Students Deserve, focusing on the things that our students need and are needed by everybody in the city. And back in 2012, like, nobody really stood with the teachers going on strike. There were no politicians really behind us. Many people told us it was a fool's errand to try to fight Rahm Emanuel, who was a very powerful mayor, fighting the Democratic establishment. Everybody was more or less saying that we shouldn't do it. But through really strong grassroots organizing and working with our community partners, we really turned it into a social movement that's moved, you know, well beyond Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Labor Radio. Tell us about how negotiations have been going. Obviously, you're getting close to a strike date, but how have they been going? How are they similar or different from 2012, from your perspectives?
Well, I think unfortunately, they're not significantly different, even though our mayor was supposed to be very different than our previous one. Just an example, the other day, one of the things we've been fighting for were more school nurses. I think Andrea mentioned in her school how little time they get with school nurse. My school is a high school. We get a nurse for half a day once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've really been trying to focus on getting more school nurses. And so the school district came in the other day with their quote-unquote final offer, and they offered us four nurses for the whole city, four more, for almost 400,000 students.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just, you know, it's embarrassing. It's you know, disrespectful to come in with an offer of four. You know, what is, that doesn't make any sense. And so unfortunately, that's how it's been a lot. We've been negotiating since January, and now all of a sudden they're like, oh, we need more time. It's been 9 months, 10 months almost. You know, they always want to push it to the last minute and force this strike vote and force us all to come to the brink, which is really disruptive for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I share those same sentiments with Jim. We've been bargaining since January before even the mayor became the mayor. And we wanted to just get a heads up so we wouldn't have to go through this right now. It's just like the same old song every time the contract is up. Is always this prolonged bargaining time where you have to bring in an arbitrator, a fact finder. It's just too much. And I just feel like we need to be able to have just a relationship between CPS and CTU needs to change. I feel like it's a very hostile relationship with CPS toward us. Lots of propaganda constantly in the media. You know, trying to make us look like we are not bargaining in good faith, saying that we are stalling, that our demands are just outrageous, and this is not the relationship that we should have with our employer. I feel there should be more respect, and that we should not be villainized, vilified in the media, and that's what seems to be taking place. Especially when we don't have the mayor, nor the board, nor the CEO at the bargaining table, mm-hmm. but yet they're speaking on what's being told to them, you know, so they're only getting third-party information. And so it's not going well because we are basically almost 2 days from a strike. So apparently it is not going, it's not going well.
Yeah. Can you summarize, you've mentioned some things about housing and shortage of nurses. Summarize what your demands are, or at least what the key demands are.
Okay, so basically the four sticky points is, you know, class sizes, you know, full staffing, pay of benefits, and, you know, justice for all students, especially in terms of housing. Mm-hmm. Those basically are the sticky points. We want to make sure that class sizes are that they are manageable and that they are enforceable. Right now, class sizes, if they, you know, balloon, we cannot do anything about it. We can talk to the principal. However, there's not money in the budget. There's nothing that we can really do about it. We may can get a class A, but that's not necessarily promised. And so we want to make sure that it is in writing and that it is enforceable and that we don't have to hear any discussion about, oh, we don't have enough money. So that's it. We want to make sure paying benefits, because a lot of they offered us a certain, you know, amount of raise, but they did not count in, you know, the rising cost of health care. And we want to make sure that does not go up. We want to make sure that we have all the staff that we need to make sure that the school functions appropriately. And we want to make sure that we have housing provisions in the contract to make sure there are vouchers for our students and there's language in the contract to help protect our students to make sure they are in safe and affordable housing.
Right.
So what are some of the things that you learned in 2012 that are helpful today in your strike buildup?
I would say definitely one of the things we learned is one of the, a quote one of my favorite organizers from CTU uses a lot, that we don't get what we deserve, we get what we're willing to fight for. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the stuff going on around the city, I mean, we're not asking for anything crazy. The way they make it sound, you know, in the newspapers around here is, you know, they want every teacher to have a Ferrari on the way to school or something like that. We're, mm-hmm. you know, we're asking for social workers for students that experience trauma in the neighborhoods. We're asking for nurses for students that are, you know, especially for low-income students, where this might be the only healthcare professional they actually get to see, because their parents don't have health insurance because they're working two or three part-time jobs with no benefits. I mean, these are not insane demands that we're asking for, but we have to be willing to fight for them because they're not giving them to us. And these are really the same demands and the same issues we've been talking about since 2012. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when the Board of Ed acts surprised about this, there's no possible way they're surprised. We've been asking for it for the better part of a decade now.
So what kind of support have you been getting from parents and students and other unions and organizations in your community?
We haven't had a lot of parents, but we had some parents on our podcast who, you know, mm-hmm. with parent organizations really supporting teachers. We've had a lot of businesses in our communities who are posting signs saying we support teachers. So we have a lot of that. So we have even some celebrities that have supported us, and we've had, you know, Bernie Sanders come to a rally. So we just have people to come and support and give speeches and put signs in their buildings and rally behind us. Mm-hmm. People have, you know, called the mayor, come to meetings and things like that. So we've had support. Every parent that I've talked to, so they support us. I know that a lot of times on the news they don't show that narrative. And again, I don't expect 100% of people to agree with everything that we are striking for, but I do believe that the majority understand the vast majority of things that we want because it's in the benefit of their children. Everything that we want is really for their children. I have not experienced personally a lot of pushback from anybody.
We're actually striking in solidarity with other unions here that are fighting for some of the same issues. In our buildings in Chicago, the special education assistants in the room are part of a different union. Mm-hmm. They were pulled out back in 2012 to try to weaken CTU, but we've linked together now. And the workers at the Park District are also going to be going out on strike on Thursday as well. Yeah. So that'll be with that union. That's another 10,000 members added to our about 25,000. That'll be working on strike.
35,000. Wow.
Yep. And as Andrea mentioned, Bernie Sanders came to a House of Delegates meeting to support us. And we've also gotten support on the websites of Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren. They've all given support to CTU and said the mayor needs to, work with teachers and students to get what they need.
Great. What's your understanding of how things will go, assuming that an agreement is not reached, a tentative agreement is not reached? How will folks be notified? What's the plan for the 17th?
Well, we're going to have another House of Delegates meeting on Wednesday. And if there are any proposals that are significantly different than the previous ones that we've gotten, we'll go over it there to see if that makes us able to avert a strike. And if not, we're not going to be bargaining until like midnight. That's what they want us to do. But at the House of Delegates, we'll be letting them know that Thursday morning we'll be walking out in solidarity with the SEIU workers here. Those are the building workers, mm-hmm. And the Park District as well.
Great. So do you have any thoughts about how other unions or listeners to the show can be supportive to your effort?
You could subscribe to our podcast. That would be very
cool. Yes, that'd be great. Yes, try the CTU Speak. You can go to our webpage, ctulocal1.org, and you can listen there. And then any podcast platforms, we are there. So CTU Speaks. Also, social media is always great. Mm-hmm. You can definitely say, if you support us on CTU, say you support CTU teachers. Also, wearing red would be great. We are definitely teachers that wear red, and that's definitely show your support. And also, just be strong in your buildings. I think that one way to support us is to carry the contract out in your building. Mm-hmm. Our contract, or Oregon's contract, whoever's listening, your contract is only as strong as how, much you enforce it within your school building. Mm-hmm. And so don't be bullied. Don't be pushed around. Stand up for your rights, because it was fought for and you deserve that. And so that's also a way to support CTU, just teachers all across the country, especially union teachers.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. I like that. Thanks. Any last thoughts you'd like to share? We have about 2 minutes left.
Well, thank you for having us on. I just love this platform.
Definitely.
We are in a movement. We are in a labor movement, and in a movement where the powers that be are really trying to weaken our power as unions and make the word union seem like a bad word, but it's a powerful, strong word, and I am thankful that people are standing up. So I do believe when you fight and you're unified, you win. You can't help but win. Mm-hmm. And so I just urge everyone to be strong. I know we don't agree on everything as educators, but in all, we have to be on one accord, because divided we fall, united we stand. I know that's an age-old cliche, but it is nonetheless true.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, thank you guys so much for having us on. It's great to know that there are people all around the country that are concerned about these same issues.
Oh, absolutely. We'll be watching.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, you guys should come out on our podcast sometime.
Yeah, we'll do it. Well, maybe when we come out for Labor Notes, next Labor Notes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right.
That'd be great.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you both so much, Andrea and Jim, for joining us tonight and sharing your struggles and your strength from Chicago. Thanks for joining us, everyone, on KBOO. Thanks to our engineer, Celine. Thank you, audience, for tuning in tonight. Thank you, Stephen, co-host extraordinaire. This is Rachel Haynes. You've been listening to Labor Radio. Tune in next Monday and every Monday at 6 o'clock to catch another Labor Radio show. Good night.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up. It's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor. An Evening with Ken Stringfellow on Saturday, October 19th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Hollywood Senior Center in Portland. Ken Stringfellow, founding member of the Posies, performs songs from his 30-year career as a musician. This night features songs and stories from his work as a solo artist, as well as Neil Young, Big Star, Robin Hitchcock, and much more. Again, that's An Evening with Ken Stringfellow on Saturday, October 19th from 7 to 9 at the Hollywood Senior Center, 1820 Northeast 40th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
It's so unbridled with the hope that someone's reading.
Baby, you understand me now.
Hi, greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. And tonight, we're speaking with Maru Mora, who's a Seattle activist. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you for the invitation.
Of course. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved with